Just remain standing if you will. Turn in your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter number 28. Deuteronomy chapter number 28. Appreciate that song. My Jesus, I love Thee. Amen. I think that's probably Brother Joel Gray's favorite song. I know he loves that song, sings it, and it is a blessing. Amen. And beautiful song, great words and great meaning. If there's ever a day and age in which we ought to love the Lord, amen, it's today. Amen. We ought to love the Lord today more than ever. Amen. Amen. Well, let me mention also, I should have said this about prayer request. I mentioned it Sunday school time, that Joshua texted us yesterday, said that Brother Bill told him to be ready to preach this morning at the church he's planting now, the one he's working in now. And then tonight, he's going to take him to another church and have him preach there. He mentioned a couple different ones, Memorial Baptist or Bethel Baptist, one of them. But said that yesterday, after Brother Bill's visitation time, Brother Williamson promised to take him sightseeing. So he took him up on some mountains. Amen. And so they got some sightseeing. Like Brother Hall was saying, probably some experience of the travels in Mexico. Amen. But anyway, pray for him. I hope he's got his nerve up enough now to be able to stand and preach after that. Amen. But they'll be coming back tomorrow. Ms. Woodard's going to stop and get them at the airport, so that'll be a blessing. Remember them. Brother Josh told us Miss Stephanie and her parents made it across the border. They're in Dallas somewhere today, so thank the Lord for that. And they're headed this way. And so thank the Lord for His blessings involved in that. Amen. Well, the text that I'm going to read you today is it's a text of the blessings and the curses that God lays down for the nation of Israel. And Joshua read in Leviticus number 26 last week and just made a few comments on it, and it started burning on my heart, to be honest with you. And all this week, it's not got better. It's got worse. And I'll just lay out a few. When I think about the state of people that either claim to be Christian or have been raised in a Christian home, it breaks my heart to see what they're doing today. Amen. Breaks my heart to see where they're at.
Yes, sir.
I know right now of at least four families in Independent Baptist, two of them preachers, that the home's broke up now. There's a separation. A man texted me this week, Friday, texted me and asked me would I pray for him and his wife. They're separated. And he told me I could tell the church. I'm not going to go into the details. None of these are in this state. Thank God. Amen. But it's folks that I know and people that I care about. And then I think about the children and rebellious children and decisions they're making and things that are doing it. It breaks my heart. So I want to preach using this text. And I was talking about Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28 are mirrors. Deuteronomy 28 is the rehash. And it really goes into more detail of what Leviticus 26 deals with. And I'm going to title my message this thought, The Option. And you have the option. The option of blessings or curses. The option. You have a choice. Blessings or curses. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse number 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all His commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt be thou, or shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies to rise, or that rise up against thee, to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain upon thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head, and not the tail. Thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he have consumed thee from off the land, whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew. And they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass. The earth that is under thee shall be iron. And the Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them, and flee seven ways before them. And thou shalt be removed unto all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto the fowls of the air, and unto the beasts of the field, and no man shall fray them away. The Lord shall or will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emerods, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness. And thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. And thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore. And no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build an house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand. The fruit of thy land and all thy labor shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed alway, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, and the sole of thy feet, or from the sole of thy feet unto the top of thy head. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known. And there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. Thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, whither the Lord shall lead thee. Thou shalt carry much seed out into the field, and shall gather but little in, for the locusts shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shalt neither drink of the wine, nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, for thine olive shall cast his fruit. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. All thy trees and fruit of thy land shall the locust consume. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed. Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness, and with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck, until he have destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. He shall eat the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy land, until thou be destroyed. Which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kind, or flocks of thy sheep, until he have destroyed thee. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates, until thy high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trustedest, throughout all thy land. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates, throughout all thy land, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body. Well, here's the worst of it. Bad enough up to this point. Thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee in the siege and in the straitness, wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. So that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil towards his brother and toward the wife of his bosom and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave. So that he will not give any or give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat. Because he hath nothing left him in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in all thy gates. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eye shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom and toward her son and toward her daughter and toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet and toward her children which she shall bear, and she shall eat them for want of all things, secretly in the siege and straitness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in thy gates. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, of sore sickness, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also every sickness and every plague, which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee, until thou be destroyed. And ye shall be left few in number, whereas ye were as the stars of the heaven for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught. For ye shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from the one end of the earth even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were even. And at even thou shalt say, would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships. By the way whereof I spake unto thee, thou shalt see it no more again, and there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. That's reading all 68 verses of this terrible chapter. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes. Yes, it is, Lord. Yes. Yes. Help us, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated, and thank you for the prayer. Amen. And I say, I've got this burden on me. I'm not mad at you. I may preach like I'm mad because I'm mad at the devil, mad at sin. But I want to, if I can, and this text does a pretty good job of it, if I can, I want to paint you a picture of really just how evil sin is. I'm not going to be talking about heaven and hell today. I'm going to be talking about life. I'm not talking about afterlife. I'm talking about life. Decisions we make right here in this world that will affect us right here in this world. Amen. Now, this text that I gave to you is, of course, Old Testament text. Look back with me at verse number 1 and 2, and just to remind us afresh, because it's been a while since we were there, it's long reading. Verse number 1, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe all that His commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Look down at verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. A few things I need to say by way of introduction, and then I'll get to my message. I'm going to try to stay with my notes, not deviate from them a lot, because I've got long enough with what I've got here. But I realize, as I said, that this text is an Old Testament text. It's a proclamation to the people of Israel. This is the people of Israel been delivered from Egyptian bondage, and they've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb to get out of Egyptian bondage. God has brought them through the waste, hell, and wilderness, brought them to the promised land. They're here at the brink of entering into the promised land, and He's writing to them about how they ought to live. He's given them some instructions and proclamations about how they are to live. Now, it's directed to the nation as a body, but you can also see that it's directed to families and to individuals. We can see that very easily. Now, using that concept, I believe we can see this as applications to Christians. Even, by the way, even to the nations of the earth. There's an application to them even in our day. Amen. Concepts like obedience unto God, observance of God's Word, His commandments. That's not changed. They're still applicable in the day in which we live. Psalm 102, and you don't have to turn to these. I'll just read them to you. Psalm 102, verse 18. Here's what the Bible said. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. Psalm 102 is a psalm of the restoration of Israel. It's talking about when God would revive Jerusalem and would restore Jerusalem. And He says there, and by the way, that text is applicable to Deuteronomy 28, in that He says it was written for a generation to come. It was not just written for them. These words Moses is given, Moses is going to pass off the scene. It was, but His Word wasn't going to pass off the scene. His commandments weren't going to pass off the scene. The blessings and the cursings were not going to pass off the scene. He said these are for the generation to come. Romans chapter number 15, verse number 4. For whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Amen. That tells us that these Old Testament scriptures were written for our learning. We need to learn from them. They are to teach us as New Testament Christians, as New Testament churches. They are to teach us that we can trust and hope in the God of Israel. Amen. The God of the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 11 says, "Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." Amen. So 1 Corinthians says, these things that are written in the Old Testament are written for our ensample. It happened to them that we might learn from those things. Amen. That we might learn from those things, teaching us and instructing us that these things are applicable to us today. Amen. Now in our text, God sets two options before His people. They do have a choice, and you do. Amen. Nobody is a motorized vehicle. Somebody else not driving you, you got a choice. Now people influence you. And I know, especially young people, that influence is powerful. It's hard for grown adult people to go against the grain of the crowd they're running with. But it's even more hard for young people that haven't had their feet set down in real strong already. It's even harder for them. And so they're more pliable. But I'll say, even in those cases, there's nobody driving you. You're in control of your life. You have the option. You have the choice. God laid it out. The choice was theirs. They could choose whichever they wished. Blessings on one hand, curses on the other hand. The choice was theirs. In reality, we have the same option today. The choice is ours. Amen. Amen. We can obey God. We can observe His Word, thus receiving the blessings. Or we can choose to disregard God's Word. We can choose to do our own will, go our own way, disobey God, and receive the curses that God said would come from that behavior. Amen. Now let me interject this note here. And you say, "Preacher, why are you saying this to us?" This is warning, if nothing else. It's warning to us. Amen. I interject here that I don't want somebody to misunderstand or to misquote my sermon. I'm not teaching that you can do enough good to merit going to heaven. Amen. Amen. Not teaching you can do enough good to merit eternal life. No, it's not. That is not a reward for good living. Amen. Amen. That's not what the text teaches. That's not what the Bible preaches or teaches, and that's not what I'm preaching. Amen. Amen. In our text, God's telling the Jews how to live on this earth, how to live in the land that they're getting ready to enter into. God's telling me and you how to live this day, in this day that He's given us, in this land that we're living. He's telling us how to live blessed or cursed based on the option that we choose. Amen. No amount of good works, no amount of obeying the commandments could ever merit heaven. Only being born again, amen, by faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Grace through faith. That's the only way you get to heaven. Amen. Amen. But, I'll say this, anyone, Christian, Muslim, atheist, anybody that would live by the principles of the Bible would have a better life than those that don't. Again, I'm not talking heaven or hell. I'm talking about life. Amen. Anybody that would bother reading their Bible, anybody that would bother living by the Word of God, would find that they inherit blessings from living by those principles. Amen. If we would bother to look around and see how people around us are living, we'll find that they're not living by the principles of the Bible. Therefore, they're not expected to inherit the blessings. Amen. But their lifestyle is inherently unhealthy. Amen. Amen. It's inherently unhealthy and unprofitable in their life. Now, let me begin by giving you a brief exposition of the Scripture, if I can. And I thought about just preaching it topically, but I think I can do better to give you the exposition and show you some things here. Breaking this chapter down, just a brief outline, there's three points, three main points. I'll give you those, then we'll go back and look at them and look at some subpoints in there. But first of all, there's the benefits found in the commandments, verses 1 through 14. If you notice in reading that, you can read it later. But in that text, those 14 verses all deal with blessings. The blessings or benefits that are found in the commandments. And then from verse 15 through 44, it tells about the bad things that are found in the curses. And really all to the end of the chapter, bad things, but it gets worse after verse number 44. Verse number 45 to verse number 68, I call that the bane found in the continual disobedience. He talks about more trouble that's going to come if you continue down that road. Amen. Now, let me give you those, the benefits found in the commandments. First of all, I've got five things I want you to think about these benefits. I don't have five each one. I've got five for the first, five for the second, and one for the last. And so you can breathe a sigh of relief right there. Amen. First of all, think about the principle in the beginning. When you look at this text laid out, the majority of it are the curses. But that's not what God starts with. The primary thing mentioned is blessings. He mentions blessings first. Amen. He mentions blessings first. I believe that insinuates our God is slow to anger. Our God is plenteous in mercy. Amen. Our God is quick to forgive. Amen. Therefore, He would rather you take the blessing than the curse. Amen. He delights in blessing people's lives. Amen. Amen. So the principle of the beginning. Secondly, the precepts are the base. Look at verse number 1. There's a phrase. If thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all His commandments, which I command thee this day. You see the precept in there? That's where the blessings are. That's the basis of your blessings. The Word of God. Verse number 2. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of thy God. Verse number 9. If thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in His ways. Verse number 13. If thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. Amen. Four times in those first 14 verses of the blessings of God, He says, here's how you get the blessings. They're all based on the Word of God. It's not based on my Word. It's not based on the Word of this church. It's not based on the Word of the elders and the leaders that have come up with these ideas. Oh no, this is based on the Word of God. You've got God's Word on it. Amen. And God sends blessings based on His Word. Notice verse number 1. Not only speaks of obedience, but it speaks of a careful attention given. Look verse 1. And it shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken, look at that next word, diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. In other words, that means cup your hand over your ear where you can hear better. You're straining to hear. You're paying close attention. You're really putting out the effort. Amen. You're carefully paying attention to what God is saying. Amen. I believe that God blesses people that do right, even though they don't know all that they ought to know about doing right. Amen. Even though they omit some of His commands that they should know. I don't know if they do know and don't do it, or I don't know the case, but for the ones they do keep, God blesses them for that. Here's an illustration of that. Now, I put it in my notes. I believe that we can see God's blessings on Chick-fil-A restaurant. This is not an endorsement of them, although they got great chicken sandwiches. And that's a blessing, by the way. Chicken's a blessing. Amen. But a Baptist preacher is a curse to a chicken. Amen. But anyway, Chick-fil-A restaurants, I believe, have the blessing of God on them. Because they make a statement and they're not afraid of it. They put it right on their signs. Closed on Sunday. Amen. They're not hypocritical about it. They're not, they don't try to be sleight of hand about it. They put it out front. None of their stores are open on Sunday. And here's why they say the reason they give is so that their employees can honor the Lord and can worship with their family on the Lord's Day. Praise God. Now there's other things that they don't adhere to. For example, the leadership in Chick-fil-A don't use King James Bible. Amen. Their music that they play is supposed to be Christian, but it's contemporary Christian. Amen. I don't think that's proper. They don't enforce that the ladies dress like ladies. You say, well, they can't. They could if they want to. Amen. Why is it that Hooters can tell their girls how to dress? Chick-fil-A can't tell their workers? Yeah, they can. But they don't. Amen. So, but here's where I'm going with that. Even though they omit some of these things that I wish they would do, for the one principle they stand on, and they stand on firmly, I believe we can see the blessings of God on their restaurant. They make more in 6 days than McDonald's makes in seven.
Amen.
Amen. And you just go on and on down the line about something. Anyway, I'm just simply saying that God honors those that honor Him. But here's the point. He says, don't just do a cursory glance over the commandments. Look at them diligently. Listen to them intently. Hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Amen. I want to ask you, are we doing that? Are we really searching the Scriptures to see how we ought to live? Amen. Do we look to the Word of God for directions in our life? Do we call on God from heaven to find directions in our life? Amen. And I'll just throw it out. How can we even claim to be diligently seeking the knowledge of God if we don't come to Sunday school? Or if we don't come back on Sunday night? Or if we don't come on Wednesday night? How can we even claim that we are diligently seeking the Scripture? Or how about this? If we don't even read our Bible on a daily basis. If we don't even get on our knees, that's symbolically, you don't necessarily have to be on your knees. But if we don't call on the God of heaven throughout the week, now I'm not just talking about, Lord, bless this food, or now lay me down and sleep. I'm talking about call on God daily, amen, seeking God that He might direct you. How can we even claim that we're diligently seeking Him if we're not doing that? Amen. Well, he said there's the primary part of the blessing, then there's the precept that is the base of the blessings. Amen. Number three, there's the pursuit of the blessings. Look at verse number two. This is a great verse. Boy, if we could shout on this one, and you better if you want to at all. Verse number two, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. Do you see that? They're coming on you. They're going to drop on your head. They're going to fall in your lap. That's the idea. Amen. You're seeking the blessing of God and out of the blue, here it comes. Amen. I don't want to read that again. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Amen. Imagine being chased by the blessings of God. Amen. I thought... about the other day when Jim let Canaan come bring his money and he's lollygagging around. Jim came after him and Canaan took off that way, run from him. Jim was chasing him. Canaan didn't feel like he was being chased by the blessings of God. He felt like judgment was on his way. Amen. But can you imagine just being in life, going around and look over your shoulder? Oh my goodness, here comes the blessings of God after me. Amen. Amen. That is a blessing. He said, being pursued, being chased by the blessings of God. A lot of people chase after good things that they never get. Amen. Never get it in their grasp. They're reaching for it. They're striving after it. They're longing for it. But the Bible says that the obedient child of God have blessings dropped in their lap, so to speak. Amen. Number four, notice the plainness or the plane on which these blessings lie. It's in this world. It's in our life. And I'll just read you, I'm not going to read the verses, but verse 3 talks about the blessings whether in the city or in the country. Verse number 4 talks about the blessings of our family, our fields, and our farm animals. Verse number 5 talks about your income and your savings being blessed. Verse number 6 talks about our entrance and our exits being blessed. Wherever we go, whatever we do, he said. Verse number 7 speaks about military blessings. Verse number 8 talks about material blessings. Excuse me. It just looks like to me that in every avenue of our life, God's saying, I'll bless you. If you'll just obey me. There's a pinnacle to the blessings. In verse number 9, all the blessings from 1 through 8 are physical blessings, earthly blessings. But verse number 9 is a spiritual blessing. It's a pinnacle. I believe this is more important than any of them. I put it in the bulletin this morning. Verse number 9, the Lord shall establish thee and holy people unto himself. Amen. Amen. More important than being rich is being holy.
Amen.
Amen. More important than having a big family is being holy. Amen. More important than a lot of the things that people chase after is being holy. And God says, I'll establish you as a holy people. Amen. Even He said, I'll establish you as a holy people unto Himself. Amen. God's going to call, God's going to recognize He's holy. Good if they do, but better if He does. Amen. And then verse 10 says, even the people of the earth are going to notice it. Amen. Again, not talking about being holy enough to go to heaven. That only comes by being born again by repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But it is talking about being a separated people unto God. Amen. I'll just say this and move on. People notice when a woman is dressed like a lady in a restaurant or in a shopping center. They notice that. They pay attention to it. At a yard sale, wherever you are, if you're dressed like a lady, they notice that. They notice it when a man bows his head over his meal.
Yes, sir.
Among all those ruffians on the job. Amen. They notice it when a man walks away rather than engaging in the cursing or the coarse jokes or the carnal behavior of those on the business place. They notice that. People notice it when a husband and wife genuinely love each other and attempt to display that. Have a respectful family. People notice it when boys and girls act like gentlemen, young gentlemen and young ladies, rather than heathens. Amen. And by the way, even lost people enjoy that. Amen. Amen. They'll come up, they'll say, can I adopt your family? I'll give you mine. And boot, amen. That's how the world looks at a lot of them. But they recognize those things. I'm just talking about obeying the principles of the Bible. They recognize when these things are taking place. God said that's the pinnacle of the blessings. These are just a few of the blessings of holiness that come from seeking to know God's will and to do God's will in our life. But look at verse number 15 through 44. There's the bad things found in the curses. Again, I've got 5 points, very similar to what I just did. I wish that the only option was the good. That'd be good. You remember, some of you remember, some of you don't. I wasn't there, but I remember reading it, that Henry Ford, when they came out with the Model T, they said, what color can you get it in? He said, any color you want, as long as you want black. If that's the only option, if God said you can have anything you want, so long as all you want is good, that'd be good.
Amen.
But He gave us the choice of the knowledge of good and evil. He gave us the choice of blessings or curses. Amen. The curses, number one, are found at the neglect of the precept. The neglect of the precept brings the curse. Verse number 15, again, He says, but it shall come to pass, here's why, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Amen. Why is it coming to pass? Because you've not hearkened unto the voice of the Lord. If people will not listen to God's word, if they will not obey it, if they choose to allow curses to come upon them, they have that choice. They have that option. Amen. You know this. When our educators threw the Bible and prayer out of school, they opened our schools to a lot of trouble, a lot of evil, a lot of curses. If I could say it this way, when they kick God out of class, they welcomed curses into the schoolroom. When people refuse to live by the principles of the Bible, they welcome the curses into their life. Look at the last part of verse number 15. There's the pursuit of curses. He said, just like the blessings are going to chase you down if you do right, the curses are going to chase you down if you don't. All that last phrase, all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. How horrible it would be to be pursued by the curses of God. I remember a man came to preach revival at Chestnut Grove Baptist Church when I was the boy of the church I got saved in. And matter of fact, I started to say it was before I got saved, but it was after. He came and preached, and my dad had announced his call to preach, but hadn't left out and hadn't started pastoring yet then. We were still in that church. My dad wasn't pastoring. Burl Fall was a pastor. But anyway, this man came, and I don't remember where he was from, but he had a song leader that came with him, and they trained our choir to sing some songs and a youth choir to sing some songs, and we sang them in the revival. And it was great, to be honest with you. But and some of the songs we learned I remember to this day. But he preached a message one night on this about Jezebel, about how that Naboth's vineyard and that story, and how that they said the dogs are gonna lick your blood. And then how it came to pass, they threw her out the window and the dogs licked her blood. And he preached on, the hounds of hell are on your trail and they'll surely lick your blood. We didn't know it, but there's a dog outside the door, front door of the church. And when he said that, that dog said, "Woo!" Like he was trained. You know what we done? We started looking behind us. See what was on our trail. Amen. That's right. But there's a reality. God said in this text, if you choose to disobey me, you choose to go your way, you can do it. You got that option. But just remember, there's something coming behind you. There's something sneaking up on you. There's something gaining ground on you. There's something that will overtake you, and that is the curses of God. How horrible it would be to have curses chasing you, hounding you at every turn, never able to escape those curses. By the way, that's where a lot of people live today. I guarantee you there's a lot of people probably live in this right around here that when they hear a siren at night, they get nervous. When they see a blue light turn around the parking lot, they get nervous. Amen. When the phone rings, they get nervous. Why? They're being hounded. They're being chased. They're being pursued. It's not the blessings that are pursuing them. It's the curses of God. Notice number 3, the plane on which these curses lie. Again, they lie right here in this earth, right here in our life. Verse 16, I believe it shows they encompass every stage and every area of our life here on earth. Verse 16 tells us that curse is whether in the city or in the country. That curse deals with our income and it deals with our savings. That curse deals with our family being cursed, our fields being cursed, and our farm animals being cursed. Verse 18. Verse number 19, our entrance and our exits are cursed. Verse number 20 uses the word vexation. Look with me there. Verse number 20. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto to do until thou be destroyed. Matthew Poole said that he believed that vexation is talking about mental anxieties that brings tormenting thoughts because of disappointed hopes. You would hope, for example, here's a woman at the well. She's been married 4 times and they've all been duds, but she's got another fella online. I hope he'll be the right one, but he wasn't either. How many people? Well, I hope this one's a good one. I hope this plan works. I hope this time things do better. And after a while, their disappointed hopes bring them tormented thoughts. mental anxieties, vexation in their spirit. Verse number 21 talks about the pestilences in the land. I'm talking about the plain on which these curses lie. Verse number 22 deals with physical maladies prevailing, physical problems. And it just goes on and on and on. The curses of disobeying the Word of God. Number 4, notice the provider of the curses. Verse 20, the Lord shall send upon thee cursing. Verse 21, the Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee. Verse 22, the Lord shall smite thee. Verse 24, the Lord shall make. Verse 25, the Lord shall cause. Verse number 27, the Lord shall smite thee. Verse 28, the Lord shall smite thee. You get the picture? You're against God, then God's against you.
That's right.
Now today, while there's mercy,
yes, sir.
Amen. Today, while there's chance, while there's hope, while you've got the option, turn to God. But there could come a day when God's turned against you because you've turned against Him. Last thing on this point, I want to think about the purview of the curses or the extent of the curses. That's what the word purview actually means. Look at verse 28 and 29. The Lord shall smite thee with madness. It's not talking about anger. It's talking about your mind is so anguished that it's unhinged.
Right.
And blindness. And I don't think it's talking about blind eyes. I think he's talking about a mind of blindness again, because it's right in the middle of this. And astonishment of heart. Heart deals with mind. Astonishment. I mean, just amazement. And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. I believe that that's talking about these mental afflictions again. Madness, blindness, and astonishment of heart. Mental afflictions which God sends on those that sin and disobey the Lord. Now let me be clear that I do not mean to imply that all problems are the result of sin, or that all problems are the result of disobedience afflicting a person's life. I'm just simply saying this. Willful disobedience to God's command invites wrong thoughts. Invites things that greatly elevates the curses of God involved in these things. Matthew Poole, I go back to him again. He said that this blindness is blindness of mind. He said not knowing what to do, not knowing where to turn. Amen. Matter of fact, verse 29 talks about the groping at noonday. Noonday ought to be the clearest. The easiest time to figure it out. They can't figure it out. They can't get leadership. They can't get discernment. They're groping. Amen. They don't know what's the best way to go. Amen. He goes on to speak of infidelity in the home. And you see that, verse 30. You betrothed a wife, another man lays with her. Infidelity in the home. Destruction of every avenue of income. Military defeat. On and on and on these verses go. I'm not going over them all verse by verse. Just let me briefly comment here that many times when we disobey God, when we do something we know is not right, or by the way, when we justify something which we previously knew had no justification.
That's right.
Amen. Let me just back up and say that again. When we do something we know is wrong, or when we justify something that previously we knew had no justification. You know what we're doing? We're opening the door to the curses of God. Amen. Utter destruction. Our marriage destroyed. Our children destroyed. Our employment destroyed. Our life destroyed. Amen. Amen. We see it over and over and over. For example, how many people have justified drinking a little bit of alcohol and found that it bites like a serpent? Amen. How many people have gone down that road of flirting, wound up breaking their marriage vows? And some of them never able to win back trust that they can hold it together again. How about this? How about these body piercings? This what they call body art. You think that's healthful? You think that helps you get employed? No, it's hurtful. It's unhealthy. And it makes you less employable. Certainly does. I could go on and on and on. We all know of people, and we've heard of cases, and we've known people that sat in churches just like ours. They've heard sermons that deal with every facet of their life. Yet those people walk out of those churches, they walk away from those teachings, and they choose the option that is not the best choice. They end up, what people say, as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. Their mind is so jumbled that they can't grasp what is truth anymore. What is right anymore. Amen. And it is amazing what people will believe when they refuse to believe the truth. The last point. I said this is the only point in this one, but it really is where it drives it home. There's the bane found in the continuation of disobedience. The word bane, I was trying to find something with B because I had all the others B, and that word bane come to mind, so I looked it up. The word bane means utter destruction. Ultimate destroyed. Ultimately destroyed. That's what the word bane means. Look at verse 45. That's where this section begins. In verse number 45, he says, "Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee." Now, we've already seen that. They're coming. But look at the next phrase. "Till thou be destroyed." It's not just going to be a slap on the wrist. It's not just going to be a swift kick in the seat of the breeches. It's destruction. If you continue that way, that's what he's saying. You go on down that way. You don't hearken to the Word of God. You don't listen to the voice of God. You don't keep His commandments. You don't live by His statutes. All right, he said, it'll get even worse. Somewhere along the way, people hit the bottom. Amen. Somewhere along the way. We could talk about all kinds. We could talk about famous people. People that have had money and fame and popularity. They look like they had it all and they ended a suicidal death. In many of them, in pathetic physical situation. Amen. We see it in our text. Many applications of Israel as a nation. By the way, he talks about them being led away captive. I believe he's alluding to the Babylonian captivity, but I believe he jumps ahead to the Roman captivity. Matter of fact, he ends up, verse 58, talking about there's going to come a day you're going to be taken back to Egypt. You're going to be taken on ships. You're not going by land. You'll go by ship, and you'll be sold as slaves. You know when that happened? A.D. 70. When Titus destroyed Jerusalem, he boarded them on ships and sent them to Egypt and sold them as slaves. It happened like God said it would. That's the context of the Scripture. But there's a teaching in here. He's not just talking about as a nation. He's talking about a family being destroyed. He's talking about an individual life being destroyed because of decisions that are made. Somewhere hitting the bottom. I'd like to, if I can, place this in our laps with more symbolic applications. I'll just read you. If a man, woman, boy, or girl chooses to be rebellious and go their own way, they can. But they will have curses chasing after them. And eventually, if God doesn't intervene, they'll be destroyed. Amen. If God doesn't intervene, there will be devastating destruction. They may play with sin as a toy, but the day will come when sin will toy with them. Amen. He says you'll be sold into slavery. You'll be in bondage. Amen. They'll find that they have become slaves to their depravity and servants to sin. Look at verse number 48. Let me get over there myself. Verse 48. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies. The very thing that is against you, you'll serve it one day. which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck. And there's that phrase again, until he have destroyed thee. Sin might be a plaything today, but one day it'll be a yoke of iron around your neck. You'll wish you could stop some of those things that you've gone to doing. You wish you could quit thinking about those things you've enjoyed thinking about for so long. You'll wish you could. They'll find themselves doing degraded things that they never previously imagined they would ever do. Why? Because they've come to be bond servants. They've come to be slaves to their sin. And when sin takes over, it is an enemy of fierce countenance. That's what he says in verse 50. A nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. He don't care your age, young or old. He's got a fierce countenance. But look at verse 50, or verse 51. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy land, until thou be destroyed. Which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kind, or flocks of thy sheep, until he have destroyed thee. That phrase over and over, this is the bane found in the continuation of disobedience. There'll be destruction. There'll be destruction. Beer and wine have made many people poor. Not only do the beverages cost money, but drunk driving tickets cost money. Right. Lawyers cost money.
Right.
Hospital visits cost money. Amen. Cigarettes are expensive. Drugs are expensive. Tattoos and piercings cost money. Movie tickets cost money. Prostitutes cost money. Doctors and medicines are expensive. And it just goes on and on until you're destroyed. It'll eat up your family. It'll eat up your farm. It'll eat up your finances. It'll eat up your flesh. That's what he said. It'll destroy you. The worst thing about all this is that once a person's been given over to sin, about like I'm preaching about, they not only destroy themselves, but they destroy those that love them and that need them. Look at verse 53. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body. What's that talking about, preacher? It's talking about your boys and girls. It's talking about your children. Descendants. Amen. Let me read all that. Verse 53 through 57. Thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. In other words, it's going to get so bad. You're wanting so much. You're longing for things you can't get. You'll eat them up. So that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil toward his brother and toward the wife of his bosom and toward the remnant of his children which he shall leave. So that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he hath nothing left him in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in all thy gates. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eye shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom and toward her son, toward her daughter, and toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet, and toward her children which she shall bear. For she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege and straitness wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in thy gates. Now we're aware that took place again physically in the siege of Jerusalem. And it literally happened. Matter of fact, it happened in the days of Jeremiah when Babylon had besieged Jerusalem. It happened again in the days of Rome when Rome besieged them. But we know it took place physically. But there's also symbolism, spiritualized, as we say, that choices you make can eat the life of your own child. That's sad, and I'm going to tell you, and it makes you mad, to be honest with you, to watch it take place. Let me just read you. I could tell you a lot of things I shouldn't. Drugs have been known to make people sell their own children to perverts in order to get more drugs. Alcohol. And by the way, I think we're making a big mistake when we laugh and just carry on about a drunkard stumbling around. For example, Otis and Andy Griffin and him that just stumbling around. It's just a funny drunk. It wouldn't be funny if that was your daddy. Drunkenness has stolen the life of a lot of little boys and girls. It's stolen the life of a wife. It eats away the childhood of the drunkard's child. Marital infidelity eats the life away from the children that are tossed from side to side because of its sin. Amen. These things may seem fun and enjoyable for the one doing it, and at the time of its doing. But it often reaps sorrow and heartbreak for others and eventually for you at a later time. Amen. Sin makes people harsh, unmerciful, demeaning, and even violent towards the little child that looks up to them with respect and has needs for them to guide them. They want you to, Daddy, show me the way. Mama, show me the way. No, you don't want to go the way they're going, son or daughter. You don't want to go the way they're going. I think about this, that verse 20 or 56, that tender and delicate woman. How many times have you seen it? Oh, honey, I just love you. No, they don't. No, they don't. They love their self because they've got steeped in sin that they can't see nothing but their self. They'll eat your life to get what they want.
Right.
Amen. You say, preacher, are you trying to make me mad at them? No, I'm trying to make you mad at the devil and realize you don't want to go down that road.
Amen.
You don't want to take that option. You don't want to go that route. Amen. Amen. Well, sin makes people harsh, unmerciful, demeaning, and violent towards the tender little child that looks up to them and needs their guidance, their help. Babies are killed by the thousands so that people can go on fornicating and adultery. Children go hungry and threadbare so that daddy and mama, or daddy or mama, can have another night on the town, another round on the house. Little boys and girls that love to have a hug from mama or daddy, but they won't tonight. Because mama's laying in some stranger's arms tonight. Daddy's holding some harlot's hand tonight. He won't be there to hold your hand. Listen, here's what I'm telling you. Sin is a monster. Sin looks like a beautiful woman. Sin looks like a beautiful, but it's a monster. And that monster will eat your children if you let it have its way with you. That's what it is. It's a monster. Amen. God help us. It may not happen quickly, but it will happen if you continue on. If something's not done, amen. I'm not saying you'll hit the bottom today. You may not hit the bottom today. You may go on for a good long while, but you're headed towards the bottom if you're going that way. Amen. Amen. I believe I can tell you, based on the Word of God, and I think I can see it in the experience of people's lives, I can tell you that what you're searching after will never bring you satisfaction if you're going away from God. You'll never find satisfaction. Look at verse number 65, and I'll just read 65 through 67, and I'm almost done. And among all those nations shall thou find no ease. You're not going to find your comfort there. Neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. No rest there. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart and failing of eyes and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were even, and at even thou shalt say, would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. Can I tell you that sin and disobedience to God's Word is not just a soul damnable thing? It's a horrible thing. It's horrible that it damns people's soul. That's bad. That's terrible. Especially when you consider that the lake of fire burns forever and ever and ever and there's no escape. But it's not just out yonder in the future. Sin destroys people right here on earth. I want to be careful how I say it, but I think this is a way to say it. Sin brings hellish torment right on earth. That's what it does. Now, the world advertises all the good side, all the glamour, all the glitter, all the gold. And we think, well, you know, here's how we can so easily justify ourselves. Well, it's just a little thing. Is it not a little thing? It's just once in a while. Is that, how bad can that be? God said, you keep going down that road. You're making those choices. Instead of the blessings pursuing you, it's the curses pursuing you, and one day they'll catch you. One day there'll be destruction. Amen. I guarantee you that right now, somewhere in this town, Madisonville, somewhere in the Listen area, that would cover even more area, but I'd say probably in this town, there's a woman weeping her eyes out, weeping her heart out because of a decision somebody she loves has made. Because the choice of the man she gave her life to has made. Because the choice of the children she'd give her life for has made. She'll wet her pillow tonight. You know who's to blame for that? There's a song in that Redback book, Sin is to Blame. Sin is to blame for it all. Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to just stop right there. I don't know how you apply it to your life, but here's how I apply it to mine. As they come with a song, I want to recognize sin, what it is, and remember that's why we got to keep telling the truth.
Yes, sir.
That's why we got to keep inviting little boys and girls to church. We got to keep going after those. We know they're doing wrong, and it breaks our heart to see them do wrong. But we got to go after them. We got to pray for them. We got to try our best to head them off before the curses catch up to them. There's some things you do that you'll reap the rest of your life. There's no way out of it. You can get saved. You can get a home in heaven. There'll still be repercussions of things that you do. I realize that. But you think how bad it'll be if they just keep on going. Nobody warns them. Nobody witnesses to them. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for the Word of God, the burden You placed on our heart. Lord, I pray for those little boys and girls. I can picture some right now. They're wondering what's tomorrow going to hold. Is Mama going to come back? Is Daddy going to stay here? Lord, help us. Help us that are Christian men to be Christian men. And Christian ladies to be Christian ladies. Help us to have a Christian home. Help us not trying to be better or not trying to just living our life for God, but maybe rescuing some. Maybe showing somebody what reality can be. Then, Lord, if there'd be somebody here, maybe they've just been dabbling. Maybe something as simple as not reading their Bible like they should. Not praying like they should. Maybe looking at things they know they shouldn't look at. Listening to things they know they shouldn't listen to. Going places they know they shouldn't go. Indulging in things they know they shouldn't. Lord, I pray today You'd set it before them. There's an option. They can choose to obey God and get the blessings of God. Or they can choose to disobey God and have curses on their trail. Lord, I pray move in this invitation time. It'd be a blessing if somebody got saved by the grace of God. It'd be a blessing if some lives got changed. Your will be done. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.